Okay, so this is our third shiur on the topic of Meperos and Meshlakos. For the first two shiurim, right, we're focused on trying to identify the particular nature of the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma. Right, what exactly is it about Zeya Ba'alma? What exactly is the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma, which downgrades, which the Gemara on Lamed Ches says downgrades the bracha of Meperos from Ha'et to Shehakol. Once we've identified these two mahalchim in Zeya Ba'alma, again, whether it's a first approach thinks it's a chisaron in Shinoi, according to the second approach it's a chisaron in Eino Chashuv. Once we've identified those two mahalchim, we're going to see that's going to open up the rest of the sugya. Now for the rest of the sugya, we're going to analyze several different issues that come up throughout the sugya, which I think are going to be impacted by the nature of the chisar. So again, once we've identified the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma, we're going to be able to now transition and analyze different aspects or other aspects of the sugya, again, which are going to relate to the chisaron of Zeya Ba'alma. So the first, let's call it impacted issue, is going to be the chiluk between Meshlakos and Meperos. As you know, when we read the Gemaras and Lamed Ches and Lamed Tes, the two Gemaras, seem to be close to each other, The Gemara and Lamed Ches, the Gemara and Lamed Ches, clearly paskins in the context of Meperos, and Meperos only have a Shehakol. But the Gemara and Lamed Ches says when it comes to Meshlakos that they retain the Bracha of Hadama of the original Shlakos. And the big question is going to be, why the difference? Why is there a distinction between the Meperos on Lamed Ches and Aleph, which get downgraded to Shehakol, and Meshlakos on Lamed Ches and Aleph, which retain their original Hadam? But in order to to answer this question, try to assess why it is these conflicting psakim and Lamed Ches and Lamed Ches in the context of Meperos and Meshlakos, we have to figure out what exactly is the case of Meshlakos, What exactly is the case of Meshlakos that the Gemara Paskins have Ha'adam? And once we figure out what the case is, then we're going to figure out, is that the same case as the case of Meperos? So the first Mahalach we're going to see in terms of what the case of Meshlakos is the Mechudash approach presented by the Ra'ah, the Ritva, and we'll see one day in the Meiri, and that is that the case on Lamed Ches is completely different case than the case of Lamed Ches. That the case of Lamed Ches, when the Gemara paskins that Meshlakos have Adama, it's not saying that the Meshlakos themselves in isolation have Adama. It's rather saying that what? Elimelech, what's the Mahalach of the Ra'ah, the Ritva, and the Meiri?
And the vegetable itself is Poteris, the Bracha is Poteris, the Bracha on the soup.
Exactly. Not to say that the Meshlakos themselves basically warrant Ha'adama. It's rather that only if you're eating or drinking the Meshlakos alongside eating the Shlakos themselves, so then the Hadama, which goes on the Shlakos, the cooked vegetables themselves, will be poter the bracha on the Meshlakos, even though the Meshlakos themselves in isolation would get a Shehakol just like Meperos. Now with the Gemara and Lamed Ches is limited to a case where you're eating the Meshlakos alongside the Shlakos themselves, then in that case, the Bracha of Adama on the Shlakos will be Poter, Midin Iker and Tafel, the Bracha of Meshlakos, on the Meshlakos. Alright, so let's see if anyone have the Ritzva. Again, the Ra'ah says this, on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the Ritzva says this, on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, and the Meiri has one day up, again, who says this. They're all basically very similar, so we're just going to read it in the Ritva himself. So this is the Ritva in Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Dimar Haskel Pshitali. He's going to spell out this very mechudash understanding of what the Psak and Gemara of Lamed Ches is. Again, and in this way, there's no stira between the Gemaras, because they're talking about two different cases. Meperos, Pasen Shehakol, when it comes to the juice themselves, and Meshlakos, and Lamed Ches, the Psak of Adama is not referring to the Meshlakos themselves. That would be Shehakol, just like Meperos. The Psak of Hadama is referring to the Be'en of Shlakos themselves. So let's just, anyone else have the Ritva? Have the Ritva? Am I the only one?
No,
oh, It's in the Tanya. Okay. So Natanel?
Oh,
I see Natanel has it. So Dear Masel Pshitali Demai.
That just like you make a hadama on the vegetable itself, so too on the maya de shoka.
Exactly. This is going to be the, represent the second approach. This is the normative approach. This is going to be Yesh Mevarshim, that the Psak is referring to the Mei Shlokos themselves. He said, no, that's not true. Right, so you're saying, why can't it be the psak? Why can't the Gemara Lama Tess be posking that the Mei Shlokos themselves have a Adama? Why not? Because? What's the riot?
The Divash is the Pri itself. From the Divash Tamarim is like the Pri itself.
I think he's saying a little differently. He's saying, you can't say that the Psak of Adama is going on the Mei Shlokos, because we know by Mi Peros, on Lamin Ches, there, it's a Shahakal. So the Ritz is very important, is assuming, there is no difference between Mei Peros and Mei Shlokos. So therefore, Al Korchach, the Gemara's Psak of Adama cannot be going the Mei Shlokos. That's a very important assumption that the Ritva is making, and the Ra'ah and the Me'iri, that there is no difference between the case of Mei Shlokos and Mei Peros, and therefore, from the perspective of the Mei Shlokos themselves, they must get a Shahakal just like Mei Peros. Just skipping a little bit. You see, Elavadai, I'm halfway down.
Elavadai, Hachi Perusha, De'im Birich ala Shlokos Bari Piradama, Neftiru Mei Mehen Va'osa Bracha, Va'afilu B'she'en Amayim Tefelim Lahem, V'din Hu She'im Yishkan Peros, Piros Vieshkan Skitasan Berichala Piros Shayeftiru me mehan a kevan de megufayu nikus.
Stop there. So what does he say? What's the case? What does the Adama refer to?
That you made a bracha on the vegetable itself.
The end of the Shlokos, exactly.
And then you also had the vegetable juice. And you don't have to make a separate shahako on the vegetable juice, because the hadama on the actual vegetable is good enough. And then he says it's the same thing by fruit.
Exactly. Okay. Awesome. Okay. So again, this first approach of the ra'ah, the ritva, and the second day in the miri has two assumptions to it. Just analyze each one at a time. The first assumption is that the Mei Shlokos themselves warrant a shahakal. That's an assumption that all these Rishonim go in saying that from the perspective of the Mei Shlokos themselves, there is no difference between Mei Shlokos and Mei Peros, and therefore Mei Shlokos should warrant a Shahakal just like Mei Peros warrant a Shahakal. It's very important. So again, so assumption number one is that the reason why that to be, right, have this Dachuk, you know, pshat in the Gemara is that the Hadamah is referring to a case where you're eating the Shlokos Be'en, because they assume that the Mei Shlokos themselves warrant a Shahakal just like Mei Peros. So again, so assumption number one is that the Mei Shlokos themselves warrant a Shahakal, assuming there's no difference between Mei Peros and Mei Shlokos. And therefore, the Psak of Shahakal on the Mei Peros on Lamed Ches must carry over to Mei Shlokos on Lamed Tes. That's assumption number one. And again, the fact that all three of these Rishonim, the Ra'ah, the Ritzvah, and the Me'iri, all adopt the Shinui approach, if you remember from Pesh Shirim, so they're all basically saying that from the perspective of Shinui, there's been a major Shinui in the case of Mei Shlokos and Mei Peros between the Pri and the Shlokos themselves, and when they're converted into Mei Shlokos and Mei Peros, and therefore that Shinui will downgrade the Bracha of the Mei Shlokos and the Mei Peros from Hadama / Ha'etz to Shahakal. Right? So again, since all these Rishonim, the Ra'ah, the Ritzvah, and the Me'iri, all adopt the Shinui approach, they're saying it's simple. Shinui applies to both these cases of Mei Shlokos and Mei Peros, and therefore it's a Dafer Pashit that both of these cases only warrant a Shahakal. So then, that forces these Rishonim into applying a very big Chiddush here. And their second assumption is that the Din of Iker and Tafel applies in this case, even though, right, in this case where it says, oh, well, you're making a bracha on the Shlokos, that's going to be poter the Mei Shlokos, the Chiddush being, right, Midin Iker and Tafel, even though in this case the Mei Shlokos are not being eaten, consumed, the Torah's Tafel. Right, it's very clear in the Ritzvah's language. Even when you're eating both of them, you're eating the Shlokos, and then you're moving on to the Mei Shlokos, The Meishlokos are not functioning as a tafel. They're not in a tarovis together, number one. And they're not being eaten to as Bitoris tafel, as we know it. Bitoris tafel is when you're eating the second item only to, let's say, what? Exactly, to blunt the taste of the original item or something like that. But in this case, it's very clear in the Rishonim that even though you're eating the Meishlokos because you want to eat Meishlokos, yet the din of Ikar and tafel is going to apply. So that's Chiddush number two. All right, so assumption number one is that Meish Lakos warrant a Shahakal, just like Meperos. Assumption number two is that the din of Ikar and Tafel applies in this case to carry over the Bracha of Adama from the Be'en of Shlakos to the, right, to the Meish Lakos, even though in this case you're eating both of them independently, both Betoros Ikar. There's no Ikar and Tafel here. And the question is, so then, wait a second. If they're both being eaten independently, so how can the din of Ikar and Tafel apply to carry over the Hadama from the Shlakos to the Meishlakos? So what do these Rishonim say? Anybody remember?
It's
because why? Because it has the tam, because
it came out of it.
Exactly. Because it came from it, actually the Ritzvah in the Hilchos Brachos says it most clearly. Yeah. Right, this is in Perek Aleph, Halacha Lamed Vav. He says, an AFLP, right, first he says that it works Bitoras Tafel, right, the bracha of the Shlakos carry over to the Mei Shlakos. Then he asks the question himself, AFLP She'ein Bechoseim Shavos, even though they have different brachos, right, the Shlakos have Adama, and the Mei Shlakos have Shahakol. And Bidziyeved, you never find that a Birchos Adama is going to be Poter something which requires a Shahakol, sorry. Still, mikan midonim keguf echad umimin echad. Here we consider them to be one guf if you combine it with the ritzva on lamates, because it came kevan, going back to lamates, kevan de migufayu nina. This is a big chiddush of all these rishonim. Since the meishlakos stem emanates from the shlakos themselves, therefore they're considered like one guf, and therefore the din of ikar and tafel applies. The question still is, what's going on here? Again, to explain this, right, the people who were in the Shi'urim, you know, for Ikar and Tafel will have a better understanding of this, but just to give a quick background on Ikar and Tafel to better understand what's going on here. Basically, in the sugya of Ikar and Tafel, there are two basic approaches in terms of what's Ikar and Tafel about. One approach is that the idea is that a Tafel doesn't require a bracha. And the idea is, when an item is eaten b'toras tafel, it's pater from a bracha. Either because that's achila is, you know, lacks chashivas, let's say. Because when you're eating an item b'toras tafel, that's pater from a bracha. That, again, in contrast to the, let's say, the classical approach, which is not that the tafel is pater from a bracha, but rather the bracha on the ikar carries over to the tafel. Now let's play it out. According to the first approach, that an item which is eaten b'toras tafel is pata from a bracha, that does not apply in such a case. Because here, both the shlakos and the meishlakos are eaten regularly. They're eaten b'toras ikar. So therefore, if the whole yisod of ikar and tafel is that an item which is eaten b'toras tafel is pata from a bracha, that's not going to apply here where the meishlakos were eaten b'toras ikar. They're eaten for themselves. They're not eaten b'toras tafel. So that approach will definitely not work. But according to the second approach, which basically says that the bracha of the ikar can carry over to the tafel because there is some tsiruf, because there's some connection between the ikar and tafel, so then you can think about applying the yisod of ikar and tafel to this case. Because even though generally the tsiruf between the ikar and tafel is because the tafel is eaten as a tafel to the ikar. So generally, the connection between the ikar and tafel is based on the fact that one serves as a tafel to the ikar. But here, the creation of that tsiruf between the ikar and the tafel, quote unquote, is the fact that the tafel, that the mishlakos, stems from the shlakos. So here you have an alternative source of that seraf, not that it's eaten b'toras tafel to the ikar, but rather because the tafel of the meishlakos comes from the shlakos themselves. So the fact that the meishlakos come from the shlakos, that creates a seraf between them. And if you understand the ikar and tafel is based on this idea that because of that seraf between the ikar and the tafel, the bracha on the ikar carries over to the tafel, so then you can understand what's going on here. That here, because the Shmei Shlakos stem from the Shlakos that creates that connection between them. So then the bracha of Bar Pir Adama on the Shlakos will carry over to the Ik. And again, there happens to be there's also one version of this approach. Again, support number two, this idea of carryover, which says that the carryover is because the tuffel is like ne'apach, basically that the tuffel like integrates into the ikar itself. And the lashon of the ritzvah, where he says it's kiguf echad, very much sounds like that. Sounds like that idea that in this case, because the meishlakos stem from the shlakos themselves, so it's as if the meishlakos integrate into the shlakos themselves to warrant obrei pri adama, and that's the application of ikar and tafel of these rishonim in this sikkim. So again, basically you have basically two assumptions of this ritzvah and meiri. Assumption number one is that meishlakos warrant a shahakol just like meiperos, not willing to make any chilukim between meiperos and meishlakos. Assumption number two is that the din of ikar and tafel applies here even though the meishlakos are not eaten b'toras tafel, and we just noted that relates to the whole lumdus of the sugya of ikar tafel, only works in within the classical approach that the bracha of the ikar carries over to the tafel. And what it sounds like is that because the tafel is nepach and integrates it with the ikar, it all becomes guf echad because the meishlakos come from the ikar. Yeah, come from the shlakos.
The ra'ah doesn't bring the point of ikar to fit.
He doesn't? Does it make it sound like one is potter the other?
He doesn't bring the inyan of ikar to fit. One can be potter the other, just not the inyan of ikar to fit.
Uh-huh. I have to look
if
back.
If you would want to say ikar to fit, so you would say ikar to fit.
Is it any... Meaning it's same as the ritzvah in the sense that, but what else is this idea of being mevarech on one? It covers the other, even though the brachas are different. But even if they don't, even though they explicitly reference ikar and tafel, it seems to be the din of ikar and tafel.
Also, the ritzvah says it's not so easy to say tikkun with the fifth.
That's what I was trying to explain.
So maybe the ra'ah thinks, yeah, it's really
uh-huh. So again, what I think I have to again, I don't have the ra'ah here. I didn't bring my kovitz, but I think. I remember the Ra'az Lashon being very similar to the Ritzvah, and they're both basically applying the din of Ikar and Tafel, and it's a mechudosh application, as I was trying to explain, that the basis of that serif, of the connection, is not because it's Eden B'Torah's Tafel, but rather because the Meishlakos emanates from the Shlakos, you basically consider them to be like one goof, and according to one approach in Ikar and Tafel, you can therefore understand that application. But I'll look at it afterwards, just to make sure that like, this works for the Ra'ah itself. But just, and one last ta'ara, I think this is also made by Aryeh in Seder, is that according to this approach, that what connects the Meishlakos to the Shlakos is that Meishlakos came from the Shlakos, that would only apply if you're talking about the Meishlakos, if you're eating the Meishlakos with the Shlakos that the Meishlakos came from. And only in the case where you're dealing with where you're eating the Shlakos and the Meishlakos, right, where you're eating the meishlakos alongside the shlakos from which the meishlakos came. But if you're eating a different, you know, shlakos, even if it's the same min, but as long as these meishlakos didn't come from those particular shlakos, then this din wouldn't apply. Right, even if it's the same min, the mashmos of the ritzvah, the ra'ah, and the mi'iri is that it's only because these meishlakos came from these shlakos, that's what creates that serif, that connection between them. That's a very important. What? Okay. So the Adkan is, you know, the first approach of those Rishonim, which basically say that the cases of Lamed Tes and Lamed Ches are completely different, and that explains the difference in Psak. But the normative approach in the Rishonim, as we'll see right now, is that no. The case of Lamed Tes, of Meishlakos, being subject to a Hadama, the Psak of Hadama refers to drinking the Meishlakos themselves. You see right now, according to many Rishonim, the way they learn the Gemara on Lamed Tes is like the Pashas. When it says, Maya dekula shlaki kekula shlaki, it's like, yeah, the psak is that the bracha on the Meishlakos themselves are Adama. So that's what we call the normative approach to Rishonim, that the psak Lamed Tes of Adama pertains to the Meishlakos themselves. Even if you're not eating the be'en of shlakos, the Meishlakos themselves require ha'adama. And we're going to see, this is going to create a big problem. because if the psak of Adama refers to the Meishlakos themselves, then you're going to have to differentiate it from the psak of Lamed Ches, where the Meipiros themselves get a shahakal. But let's just first quickly go through a number of Rishonim who explain the Gemara Kapashas that the psak of Adama for Meishlakos refers to Meishlakos themselves. So let's first see the Tosos on the spot. Emmanuel, do you see Tosos Lamed Ches Amid Aleph? Do you remember Maya de Silka Kisilka?
Maya de Silka Kisilka. מברכין עליה ברור פרי אדמה, אף על פי שאין בה אלא מים. וטעם הירקות, מברך עליהן כאשר יברך עליה הכות.
Stop there. So what's the case? אף על פי שאין בה אלא מים וטעם הירקות. Right? The psak is referring, or the mesh lakos is referring to the water itself with the tam of the yirakos. No be'en of shlakos, it's the mei shlakos themselves. And then we're going to get to his question in just a moment. So again, clear from Tosos that the psak of mei shlakos kishlakos is referring to the mei shlakos themselves. Similarly, the Rambam, anybody have the Rambam, the Chos Brachos, Perek Ches, Halacha Dalet? If you don't mind, the Rambam also, when he presents this halacha, is very clear that the psak of Adama refers to the mei shlakos themselves. Yeah, sorry. All right, so where's the diak there? Exactly. You make the bracha of Adama on the, right, the mei shelek shalem. And then he continues to with certain tanoim, which we'll get to back in a second. All right, so you have Tosfos, you have the Rambam, and then you have, as Natanael read before, the Yesh Mefarshim and the Ritzvah. Remember, when the Ritzvah starts off his presentation, he first quotes the Yesh Mefarshim, which is the normative approach now, right, that the Psak of Adama refers to the Meipiros themselves. He then goes on to reject it. But so you have the Tosos on the spot, the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos Ches Dalid, you have the Yesh Mefarshim in the Ritzvah, and then you have the Rush, right? So everyone, we're going to get very important. We're going to come back to this Rush. But the Rush very clearly says that the Psak again refers to the Meishlakos themselves. Anybody have the Rush? This is in our Perek, Simon Yud Ches. Ellie, would you mind reading it? At least the first half.
Umaya de Soto Maya de Lenta, Maya de Safta Burke Adama, the Kamalan Maya de Kola Shalke.
Right, just basically quoting the Gemara, right, the Psak of Meishlakos, Kishlakos. But now he's going to tip his hand in terms of what the case is. Aval.
Aval pi shein bo.
Kiim.
Kiim hamara. Vitama yirakos kamarach kolayhen. Kamoshim mevarech al hayirakos atzman.
Stop there for now. He says, this Psak of Meishlakos Kishlakos is like using, you know, utilizing Tosis Lashon, is even though all you have here is the flavored water, you have the soup, Marak, Vitama Yurakos. So again, it's very clear in the Rush, he's adopting this normative approach of the Rishonim, that the Psak of Meishlakos Kishlakos refers to the Mayim, the flavored water itself. So you have Tosos, the Rambam, Yesh Mefarshim, the Ritzvah, you have the Rush, and also you have the Piskei, which I have on the sheet, which again, very clearly in one line, in the second line, there, the end of the second line says, the Chol Zeh L'Inyan Bracha, Piskei Rit says, Shedin HaMayim Kedin HaYirakos. Right, that the Psak, right, that the Bracha for the Mayim itself is the same as the Yirakos, again saying that the Meishlakos themselves is subject to the Psak of Borei Pri Adama. So within this normative approach, this is going to be dealing with the next couple of Shiram. The big question is going to be, wait a second. As we said before, what's the question, Avram?
How do we differentiate between the Paris and
Tom? Exactly. Right. So a lot of these Rishonim who say that the Psak of Meishlakos is referring to the Meishlakos themselves, they then go on to say, but wait a second, how then do you differentiate between Meishlakos, which retain the original Bracha of Adama, with Meiperos, which lose the original Bracha of Ha'etz? So Tosas, for instance, if you run back to Tosas, right after he says that the Meishlakos is referring to the Meishlakos themselves, he then asks the question, and how are you going to then align this Psak Lamed Ches with the Psak Lamed Ches? I'm out of them, just read the Afagav. Oh, you can't read? Ellie, would you mind? See Tosas, and this is the Afagav D'Amrina, and Tosas. So right after Tosos mentions that the Psak on Lamed Ches is referring to the Meishlakos themselves, he says, oh, but you now have to contend with the Stira with Lamed Ches Amid Aleph, with Meipiros, which loses Bracha. But Tosos asks the question, says Yesh L'Chalek, but sort of leaves us hanging. Doesn't he? He says, there's an easy chiluk to be made, but He doesn't tell us what it is. But now we're going to spend the next couple of minutes, and this year and next year, trying to understand the chilek between these cases. What is the chilek between Mei Peros and Mei Shlakos that, right, one retains its bracha and the other doesn't retain its bracha? So here we're going to see two basic mahalachim in the Rishonim. Mahalach number one is famously adopted by the Rush. Everyone turn back to the Rush. And that is that the Rush is going to be mechalik between the case of Bishul and Tzchita, as we'll see in just a moment. Ari, would you mind saying the Rush? What? Yeah, Velo Dami.
Velo Dami when they pair us, they're in the Zeya Ba'alma. So we said by pairs, it's only Zeya Ba'alma. Vishamashka ain't no time at pre. Mashka, meaning the squeeze out of the pre, doesn't have a time at pre.
Very important, right? So when it comes to schita, right? When it comes to meperos, which is schita, right? Where you take the right, your soche, the juice out of the fruit. So there, the meperos don't sufficiently have or don't sufficiently retain the taste of the original fruit. Therefore, that's the psak of Zeya Ba'alma.
If you would have cooked it in water, then it would have retained the flavor of the pre, and then you would have made a pre. Like the case of
Mei Shlakos. Exactly. So he doesn't talk about Mei Shlakos, but in essence, what comes out? What is the chilek between the psak of Mei Shlakos and Mei Peros, according to the Rush?
Whether it retains the flavor or not, which would be Bishul versus.
Okay, this is very important. So the first mahalach here, again, this is all within the normative it's like second approach that we're, you know, that the Gemara is, you know, dealing with, the psak of the Gemara is dealing with the Mei Shlakos themselves. And so again, within that normative approach, you're going to write the first mahalach here in terms of now what is the difference between Mei Shlakos and Mei Peros. The first mahalach is to say that the chilek is between Bishul and Schita. Very important. Sorry, this is the approach adopted by the Rush. According to this approach, there's no fundamental difference between Peros and Shlakos. Even though the Gemara sounds like the chilek is between Peros and Lamed Ches and Shlakos and Lamed Ches, that's not the chilek. The chilek is between Schita on Lamed Ches and Bishul on Lamed Ches. The Mei Peros case, which loses bracha, is a case of Schita, and because Schita, according to the Rush, doesn't retain the Tam HaPri, therefore its bracha is downgraded. Masha Inkin, the Mei Shlakos case, there the original bracha is retained because there it's a case of Bishul, where you're mevashel the Shlakos in water, and there the tam of the Irakos does come out, and that tam of the Shlakos is more strongly resembles the Irakos. So in that case, the original bracha of Adama is retained. So again, and where it's very clear that the Rush thinks that the chiluk is not between Peros and Shlakos, but between Bishul and Schita, when the Rush says, yeah, and Efshir, and we'll get back to why it's only Betorah Safek, but he says, yeah, if you're Mevashel Peros, so then that should have the same psak of Mei Shlakos. If you apply Bishul to Peros, then that should fall into the psak Alamites, where the original bracha should be retained, because the chilek is between Bishul and Schita, not between Peros and Shlakos. Yeah.
You can see that the whole Slav, the Rush, the Tosfot, the Rambam, the Asian Fashion Baita and all that, that's Cheshivut. And then the Rush considers Cheshivut as Tampri.
Okay, we're gonna get to this in just a moment. Okay? Hold up. Meaning Shmuel correctly is trying to analyze this chiluk in light of the overall, you know, mahalach and Zeya Ba'alma in terms of what is the chiluk, in terms of what's the nature of Zeya Ba'alma. So we're going to get back to that. You'll see why we're holding off in just a moment. So again, beyond the Rush, who adopts this chiluk between Bishul and Schita, you have the Kesef Mishnah. Right? The Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, Perek Ches, Halacha Dalet, basically quotes the Rush and says, oh, the Pshat in the Rambam is just like the Rush, that the chiluk is between Bishul and Schita. We're going to get back to later that this doesn't seem to be the Pshat in the Rambam himself. The Rambam, right, because what does the Rambam seem to focus on? Exactly. The Rambam seems to be like more of a Rashba person, which we'll get to next. The Rambam's chiluk seems to be derech, you know, darko bahachi versus not darko bahachi, meaning is it the regular intended purpose of this fruit or vegetable to be used for its, you know, for its juices or not? But again, it's important to know that the Kesef Mishnah, there's, you know, right, Beis Yosef, you know, the Shulchan Aruch, seems to like the Rush, and therefore tries to insert the Rush's chilek between Schita and Bishul into the Rambam. So again, so while we don't think why we don't think this is Pshan the Rambam, at least the Kesem Mishnah seems to be very comfortable with this Chilik of the Rush. Is that hand, Michal? Oh, okay. So not only do you have the Rush adopting this Chilik between the Bishul and the Shechita, but you have the Kesem Mishnah. And we'll get back to when we learn the, we see that the Rambam himself doesn't seem to adopt this. So once you have this Shita of the Rush and the Kesem Mishnah, right, that the fundamental distinction is between Bishul and Shechita, now let's take a step back and analyze a number of the assumptions of this Mahalach, of this approach. Assumption number one seems to be, if I were to ask you, which process is more effective in taking the Tam of the original, according to these Rishonim? Bishul or Shechita?
Bishul.
Right, it's very clear from the Rush and the Kesem Mishnah that they think that Bishul is more effective than Shechita in taking out the Tam of the original Pri. That's goof of what their Chilek seems to be about. But we have to analyze this assumption, because it's actually strange that there are Rishonim who seem to assume the opposite. There are Rishonim who seem to say, no, the exact opposite. That if you're comparing the effectiveness of Shechita versus Bishul in terms of being motzi the tam, these other Rishonim we're going to see right now say, no, Shechita is more effective. Anybody remember who says this? Good, excellent. Right, there's a very important kol shekein in the Meir. Excellent, Yitidja. Anybody have the Meir, the Lashon of the Meir here? Okay, so let's get back to the, okay, we'll get back to it in just a moment. So first I want to just show the machlokas, and then you're trying to suggest an answer, I think, right? Okay, good. So let's just first get, you know, let's first see these lishonos. So the Meiri on Lama Teslam and Aleph, Dibro Mazcho Mayim Shinis Bashlu, right? When he's quoting the Yesh Mepharshim, do you have it? Yeah, so start off. Always pay careful attention, not only to the Psak, but Kol Shekein, because Kol Shekein is very telling about what which case is more pasha. Go for it. Mayim shenis pasha. Go for it.
Mayim shenis baslubay mirakot vekiblu tam hayarakot. Yesh mefashim shem yarechalem boro pri adama shari tam hayarakot bo tam hamayim. Bechol shekin mitzere.
So what do you say? So yesh mefashim in the Meiri say that the boro pri adama applies both in the case of Bishul, right? Because there in the case of Bishul, right, the tam of the yarakot has come out. And he says, vekol shekin, right, if you're going to say that the Bori Pri Adama is retained in the case of Bishul, then Kol Shekein, the Bori Pri Adama, is going to be retained in the case of Shechita, in the case of Mitz. Implication being that that the Tam, that Shechita is more effective than Bishul. And therefore, if Bishul, you know, retains the Bracha, then Kol Shekein, Shechita will, and the exact opposite of the Rush. Right, the Rush assumed that Bishul is more effective, and now this Yesh Mepharshim and the Meiri are assuming that Shechita is more effective. Not only the Meiri, anybody remember the hint, the tour? Anybody see the Rabbeinu Yechiel quote in the tour? Anybody have a tour? Okay, right? If you look carefully at the...
Couldn't you also say that the Meiri holds about Chashivas because Kol Shekein, it could also be Kol Shekein, it's more Chash if you're squeezing it. That's
where
you want.
Okay, we'll get back to this. Okay, we'll get back to this. Good. But first, let's Rabbeinu Yechiel quote in the Torah. This is actually Rabbeinu Yechiel is the brother of the Torah. We know that because he says, Kosav Achi Rabbeinu Yechiel. So even if you didn't know, pretty clear. All right, so the Torah in Reish Hei, he starts off by Siva Alamayim. You see Reish Hei. Where is it? Reishe base to Gimel, you see it? You have it? Yeah, you see Val Mayim Shabishlu?
Val Mayim Shabishlu, Yarako Dvar Kadev Shabbarich,
Ayarak. So, in the case of Bishul, he says, quotes, right, they retain the bracha, like the Rush. But then he says, skip a little bit, so he said, Kasav Achi Harab Rabbi Yechiel?
Kasav Achi Harab Rabbi Yechiel?
So if the Bishul case retains the Borei Pri Adama, says Rabbeinu Yechiel, then Kol Shekein, the Shechita case, will retain the Adama. So in line with the Yesh Mepharshim and the Meiri, both the Yesh Mepharshim and the Meiri and Rabbeinu Yechiel are using the Kol Shekein in the opposite way than the Rush and the Kesem Mishnah. And the big question is going to be, like, is this the Machlokas of Metzius? Like, What's going on here? Are they arguing about which has better tam, like which extracts better tam? Bishul or Shechita? And the classic problem with the Machlokes Metzius is that just test it out. You know, blindfold a couple people, get a couple of, you know, chefs, and try to figure out, okay, you have, you know, feed the person, have them drink the Shechita, have them drink the Bishul, and say, okay, which one has better taste? So the big question is, in terms of this first assumption of the Rush, right? The first assumption of this Rush in the Kesa Mishnah, right? That Bishul is more effective at extracting Tam than Shechita. What is really going on here if we have Rishonim who say the exact opposite? Is the Machlokes and Metzius here? What's going on? Yoni, how do you want to say? What do you want to?
In the Rush, talking about different Tams of the Pri.
Explain.
The Tam of the liquid, which is a distinct entity from the Pri itself. So when you boil the Pri in the liquid, that was more effective. That has Tam Pri itself.
One more time. Say it. This is the Rush. The Rush says when you're mevashel, let's say the shlakos
within the water.
So then
the water now has tam pri.
Masha enke.
Pri itself. When you squeezed it out, it's just different. That liquid is a different entity from the.
What means a different. Well, so is the mime. It's also a different entity. What do you mean?
But the Meiri says shalei tam ayirakot.
You're saying the liquid has some taste. It's its own thing.
Okay, so what is the Meiri and the Rabbi Yechiel holding?
The Rabbi Yechiel would say no, it's the same.
It's the opposite.
It's the same thing as the liquid in the tree. Of course, it's more
so is that a Machlokes Metzius?
No, because
explain.
According to the Rashi, it's not the liquid you're getting in the pre. When it's similar to what we were saying before, when we're asking a question, when liquid's in the pre, isn't it distinct from the pre? So how are you?
But that was talking about Shinui. Here we're talking about Tom.
The pre has its own Tom, and the liquid has its own Tom.
If I were to ask you in one sentence, what's the machlokas between the Rush?
Whether or not those two, how separate you consider the two tam.
Explain again, one more time.
Do you think that the pre has some tam, the liquid has some tam, or do you think that's all
considered
the same tam?
Okay, Shmuel.
The Yerik says tam yirakot, so he's talking about the Yerik. If you say tam mix yirakot.
Well, that in the case of Bishul, he says Shari Tama Yirakos Ba'osan Amayim. This is a Kol Shekein Mitz Shelahem, and Kol Shekein in the case of Mitz.
So he's saying it should be the same thing.
Okay, so I think you're getting there. I think we need a little bit more work. Yeah, did you?
Anyone agrees that Bishul keeps this flavor better to Shechita is the actual guf. Bishul is the actual guf.
So it's the actual guf, and therefore...
The culture game is that, you know, it's different time, but it's the actual guf for the free. Shaking my Bishul, it's not...
Oh, so you're saying from a different perspective.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, interesting. So you're saying the culture is not from a Tom perspective, yeah. It's from a different perspective. Okay? That's definitely one way to do it. So, yeah.
I think what Yoni is saying is
yeah.
That from the Rush, when you cook it, okay, the goof itself is dissolved into it. But when you squeeze it, there's the goof, and then you have the juice inside. So, right, we said that that's the change. If you have the goof and the juice inside, now it's the juice is separate from it.
But it seems like the Rush's focus is on the tam. Not just mm-hmm. on a shinoi level. It seems like there's a chilek in the tam.
The tam of the peri.
Yeah.
Itself, not the juice.
Okay, so along those lines, I would like to suggest, let me know if this is what you have in mind, that perhaps you have here a machlokas about, right, what's the koveya for tam, for a tam, retaining the original. Is the focus on the tam resembling the original pri, or is it that just the strength of the tam? I think that might be the machlokes. Meaning, the Rosh thinks that in order for the original bracha to be retained, that only applies in a case where the tam, where the liquid coming out, closely resembles the tam of the original pri. And in the case of Bishul, right, this is the assumption that the Rosh clearly makes, that Bishul, that the tam coming out of Bishul more closely resembles the tam of the original pri than schita. It sounds like when you're mevashel a pri in water, the tam that comes out of that pri into the water more closely resembles the tam of the original pri in the case of schita. It sounds like schita, you're talking about the meperos, that is like an independent taste. Like orange juice has an independent taste from the orange itself. So it seems like everyone agrees to the mitzvahs as follows. Everyone agrees that bishul, that the tam coming out of bishul more closely resembles the tam of the original pri. But, could be everyone agrees also to the second fact of Metzias, that, but maybe Schita, the liquid coming out of Schita, has a stronger taste. And the question is, what's the Koveya? Which type of taste is better able to carry over the original bracha? The Rosh favors Bishul, because he thinks that the Koveya is whether the Tam closely resembles the Tam of the Pri. It's very clear from the Lashon. That when he says, oh, the chisaron of schita, says the Rosh, is levisha mashke emo tam apri. Right? That the schita, the mashke coming out of schita, doesn't resemble the tam of the pri like Bishul does. But maybe these other rishonim, the Meiri and the Rabbeinu Chila, are arguing, no, the koveya is not whether the tam of the liquid resembles the original fruit. The koveya is rather the koach of that tam. And if you have a significant, if that tam is very strong, then that's chashuv, and then that's going to carry over from the bracha, and therefore they said kol shekein. If you're going to say that the bracha is carried over in the case of bishul, where the taste is not so strong, then kol shekein in the case of schita, where the tam is even stronger. So in short, there's no machlokes and mitzias between the Rosh and the Kesef Mishnah on the one hand, and the Meiri and Rabbeinu Chil on the other hand. Everyone agrees to the following sets of facts in mitzias. Bishul, the tam coming out of bishul more closely resembles the original pri. The second fact is that everyone agrees that the taste of the schita, of the mashka coming in schita, is stronger. Only question is, what's the koveya? Is the koveya resembling the original tam, the pri, the original guf, or is the koveya just the koach hatam? Yes.
The Meir says tam ayakot. It's not the tam of the meat of the ayakot. The tam of the ayakot. We want the.
And that's in the case of Bishul.
No, but he says the kolcheke.
Another question.
So
what's,
we care about tamei rakot.
But then kol shekein, meaning because you have the tamei
rakot. That's the koveya. Tamei rakot.
Problem is that then you have machlokas mitzvahs.
Okay, that's a problem.
I have a problem with that, but I have a problem with that because then it's too easy to resolve that. Efshel levar tzarach levar. You can't really have machlokas about that. I hear the diuk. So what I would say is what the Meiri is saying. Is that, yeah, Bishul, because it has the tam of the Irakos, that's a significant tam. Kol Shekein, when it comes to Schita, because there the strength of the tam is even stronger, so therefore Kol Shekein that there it can be retained in that case.
But it's not the Koveh according to the Meiri.
Correct. Correct. I hear the Ara, but I'm not willing to say that both the Meiri and the Rush agree that the koveya is the tam resembling the original guf, and the machokas is which one resembles more. I'm just not comfortable with that possibility. Okay, that's the first assumption, right? So again, the first assumption of the Rosh and the Kesef Mishnah is that Bishul is more effective at extracting tam than schita, and the way we explained it, in light of the fact that it seems machokas here, the way we explained it is that it's more effective from the perspective of retaining the tam of the original pri. That's assumption number one. Assumption number two is that, and this is going to get back to what Shmuel was referring to before, is that the quality of tam is koveya. Right? These chilukim of the Rush and the Kesef Mishnah is all about the quality of the tam, the quality of the tam in terms of resembling the original pri. So it's very clear that the Rosh and the Kesef Mishnah think that the quality of the tam is going to be koveya the bracha, and whether the original bracha is retained or not. Again, it's not about whether this is the derech, but it's rather about the quality of the tam. And now we have to analyze that assumption in light of the two approaches we developed in the beginning of the Sigah, right? So I would say, Bipasha, Shmuel, right? If you think if according to the Rosh, that the quality of the tam is koveo, which approach does it sound like more? Chashiva. How would you explain it?
That I care what do I consider pri? What has the chashivut of pri? Chashivut of pri is tam, not ketsuba.
Exactly. Right? The easiest way to explain this shita of the Rosh and the Kesef Mishnah, you say, they're clearly adopting the Eino Chashiv approach. And I think this is the classic way of explaining the Rosh, is that because the koveya for Zeya Ba'alma is the lack of chashivas, so that applies to the case of Shechita, where, because the tam of the pri doesn't carry over to the meperos, so that's it's Eino Chashiv. The meperos themselves are Eino Chashiv because it doesn't have the tam of the pri, and therefore it's considered Eino Chashiv. But in the case of Bishul, where the tam of the pri carries over into the mayim, so there you have the tam of the pri, so therefore even that mayim is considered chashiv, and therefore the bracha is carried over. So again, the simple way, I'm taking a second, right, the simple way to explain this chiluk of the Rosh and the Kesef Mishnah based on the quality of the tam is to say, the koveya is the chashivas of the juice, and therefore when the tam closely, in the case of Bishul, where the tam closely resembles the original, that juice is considered chashiv. Mash Enki, in the classic case of Shechita, of Neperos, there, because the tam doesn't resemble, so therefore that's where the factor of Zeya Ba'alma, of Eino Chashiv, applies.
You can see that also the whole bigger Svara, like the Rosh, the Tosfos, the Rambam, the Yesh Mefashim, and the Piskei, all agree about this. That's the inyan of chashivut. The question is, what do you consider chashivut? Do we care about tam of pri, or do we care about?
For sure. Yeah, we're going to get for sure. Some of those rishonim are gonna adopt a different mahalach in terms of the chiluk between lametes and lametches, such as dark mahalach. So we're going to have to analyze.
But you can still say darko, but it's still chashivut.
One at a time. Well, we'll analyze that when we get to tomorrow, because we'll see. Oh, yes.
Do we say here like what the Rosh was said before? That it's an objective chashivas, because otherwise, if you do schita, then you're showing that it is chashiv.
Yeah, so here it sounds like it's an objective chashivas. Exactly, you're right, because the fact that, you know, you're machshiv it by being sochev, that, exactly, 100%, is a great horror, Kofi's pointing out, that according to this mahalach, right, that you say that Bishul is, right, the Mei Bishul is more chashiv than the Mei Shechita, you'd have to say that it's more of an objective question of chashivas based on the tam of the pri, not subjectively does the person care about it, because if a person's going out of his way to be sochet the pri, he obviously cares about getting his orange juice, so 100%, Kofi's 100% correct. All I want to point out is that while most people assume, like Shmuel, and the way most Achronim say it is, the Rosh's Chiluk works out with the Eino Chashiv approach, if you pay careful attention to the way the Tur, right, presents the chiluk of his father, the Rosh, right? The Tur is the son of the Rosh. When the Tur presents the chiluk of his father, the Rosh, between Bishul and Shechita, he presents the chiluk in terms of Shinoi. And therefore, I like to suggest that you therefore have to be able to, at least according to the Tur's understanding, you have to be able to explain this chiluk between Shechita and Bishul, not only according to the Eino Chashiv approach, like is the normative way of explaining it, but also, at least according to the Tur, within the Shinoi approach. But let's see the Tur. Yedidja, do you have it?
Yeah.
He says, right after he quotes the Rabbeinu Yechiel, we had the Kol Shekein, he says, Ve'eino Nira Kein.
Ve'eino Nira Kein, the Vadek Shesochten Otsam Mishtani Legriusa.
Right, so he says, no. He's about to, when he quotes the chiluk between Shechita and Bishul, his father's chiluk, he says, no, because when you have Shechita, he doesn't say, it's Shechita, the time it's Eino Chashiv. He says, what? It's, right, Mishtani Legreyasa. There it's a Shinoi Legreyasa. Varaya Ladavar, just continue, huh?
Varaya Ladavar, Shemashkin, Yotzim, and Apri, Shemar Fon Shako.
But if in Bishlam, so then when the Tur is quoting the chilek between Bishl and Schita, the chilek of his father, he says that this chilek of the Tam affects the quality of the Shinoi. And the question is, what's going on? So you have to explain. And because you can ask, like, what do you mean? From the Shinoi perspective, who cares about the Tam? From the Shinoi perspective, Shinoi is all about the Tzura. Originally, it was a solid, and now it's a liquid. So who cares? Mali me Bishl, Mali me Schita. Both of them, originally you have the pre, or the shlokos, which are solid, and now it's a liquid. Who cares about this chilek? But, if you remember, the koveya about whether this shinoi is going to downgrade the bracha of a particular item is based on whether that shinoi is considered a shinoi li'iluya, yeah, a positive shinoi, like in the case of Shem and Zayas. There is clearly a physical change in surah from the Zayas to the Shemin. But yet, the Gemara Lamed Vav says that in that case, there the shinoi doesn't downgrade the bracha because that's a shinoi li'iluya. So you see from there that even within the shinoi approach, you always have to figure out whether the shinoi is a shinoi li'greyasa or a shinoi li'iluya to determine whether that shinoi will downgrade the bracha. So what the Torah is saying, the chilek of the Rush, about the quality of the Tam, that the quality of the Tam, according to this second explanation, is not a shir in chashivos, like the first explanation, but it's rather a shir in whether the shinoi is considered a shinoi li'greyasa or a shinoi li'maliyasa or a shinoi li'iluya. And therefore, according to the Torah's understanding, you also have to be able to explain the Rush within the Shinoi approach, and to say, when it comes to Bishul, where there's an effective, you know, and the transferring of the Tam and the resulting Tam resembles the Tam of the Pri, so that's a Shinoi Li'iluya. And therefore, the Shinoi, the physical change in the Surah, will not downgrade the Bracha. Masha Enki, in the case of Schita, where you are basically downgrading the Tam, because right, the new Tam of the Meschita will not resemble right the Tam of the original Pri. So in that case, that's Nechshav, as if it's a Shinoi Ligrayasa, where the Shinoi does downgrade the Bracha. But it's important to note that this application of this Geder of Shinoi Ligrayasa versus Shinoi Liluya is a Mechudish Geder of Grayasa versus Liluya. Because if you're going back to the case of Shemin, right? All right, what makes Shemin a Shinoi Liluya, the Pashtos? Right, it's a higher level, and that was the intended, right, Rashi on the spot says, that was the intended purpose of the Zayas. The intended purpose is to convert Zaysim into Shemin. So the Pashas, Shinoi Liluya, only applies when the Shinoi is actually a positive change. Because that's the intended purpose.
That's within the Rashi.
But this Tur's explanation of the Rashi's chilek is a mechudish geder of Shinoi Liluya to say that Shinoi Liluya, meaning that the Shinoi will not downgrade the bracha, even if it's not the intended purpose. Right, in this case, it's not necessarily the case, according to the Rush, that the intended purpose of these shlokos were to be, you know, to be cooked into a mei bishul. But even so, because the transfer of tam is effective, because the resulting tam resembles the tam of original pri, that's considered a shnei liluya. So, guys, it's important to appreciate that this is a mechudesh geder understanding of a shnei liluya. Is not that has to be the intended purpose of the original pre to be made into this new form, but even if that wasn't the original purpose, but that change is as an effective transfer of the tam of the original pre, so that is going to be nechshav as if it is a shinoi liluya. So that's very important. So in short, we have this chiluk this mahalach of the Rush, where he's mechalik between Schita and Bishul, right? So assumption number one is that Bishul is more effective than Schita in extracting the Tam. We explained that has to do with being Magdir Tam in terms of Tam which resembles the original Pri, not in terms of just the Koach. And the second assumption is, right, is that the quality of the Tam is Koveya. And we pointed out there are two ways to explain that, either within the Enochashev approach or within the Shinoi approach. Each one have a different take on the Tam. Yeah, Shmuel. Oh, you had your hand up before? Okay. We're going to stop here because this is where we'll stop here.